Proverbs chapter 30. Find that scripture, Proverbs chapter 30. I know what time it is, but and I won't be lengthy. I don't do anything for pilots. I don't even get to come to much of it, but I enjoy the services. I enjoy working with the fellas with the archery. It's been a good group this year. I'll just say it's a good thing that we're demoing the gym. We've got a head start on it, amen? Oh, my goodness. But we couldn't shoot outside. It was so windy, and these boys are trying bows that aren't made for them. And you guys that hunt, you know, you fit a bow to you. And so, you know, we got to adjust all those sights, and we've lost a few tips, and we've lost a few arrows, and put a few holes in the wall and other places, amen. Ordinarily, I would get pretty concerned about it, but not this year. Nah, it's coming down anyway, you know. So, shoot them up, boys, amen. So, it's been good. I brought this to my Bible class this morning. We're nearing the shore on the 100 lessons on wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Verse 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. So here are four animals in verses 25, 26, 27, and 28. Ants, conies, locusts, and spider. And yet the Bible says, as small as they are, as little as they are exceeding wise. So the wise man was saying to his son, son, there's a lot to learn from these little bitty animals. And I'll just give you a couple of them tonight. You look at verse number 25. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The ants, what do you learn from ants? Preparation. Preparation. Man, they get with it when the time is right. Because they know they won't be able to do it in the winter. So they have to make hay while the sun shines. In the fall of the spring, in the summer, in the fall, and they get with it and they haul that food back and forth and so forth and so on. The first, as Brother Don said, the first word up here that pilots, the acrostic pilots, is the word preparation. I was thinking a little bit about Daniel and his three friends over in the land of Babylon. And how that, you know, they went through that little test there. Melzar gave them pulse to eat instead of the king's meat and drink. And they came out 10 times better. 10 times better than the young people of Babylon. And then you got those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, going into the fiery furnace, bound in ropes, and into the furnace that was heated 7 times hotter. And they come out of that thing without even the hint of smoke on their bodies. That's incredible. It's not a fairy tale. Really happened. Then you got Daniel some years later in the lion's den being thrown in there. Later on, they would throw the men in who threw him in and the men that conspired to throw him in. And before they reached the bottom of the pit, the lions had them eaten before their bodies touched the ground. And yet Daniel spent all night there with those lions and they never harmed him. Now who wouldn't want to be involved in any one of those three things? Who wouldn't want to be a part of a project where you come out 10 times better? Who wouldn't want to be cast into a burning fire and come out the other side without even the hint of smoke on you? Man, I'd want to be a part of that. Amen. Or Daniel the lion's den. But you know, I'm convinced with all of my heart that they had the opportunity to go through that test. They had the opportunity to glorify God in the fiery furnace. And Daniel had the opportunity to glorify God in the lion's den because when it was time, they made A's in science. They had the opportunity to be a witness for God because when it was time, they made A's in math. That's exactly right. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8, when Nebuchadnezzar called for Hebrew boys, he didn't want just any flops. He said, bring me some young men who are cunning in science and increased in knowledge and who have ability to stand in the king's palace. He said, I want you to bring me some young men that are prepared. And I submit to you young people that You know, this is so much more exciting than, and not just the ones in the school, all you kids, elementary school and homeschool and church school, doesn't matter. All you young people who are involved in the educational years of your life right now, understand that these men had the opportunity to glorify God going through a test, coming out 10 times better, coming through the fiery furnace, going into the lion's den, and they had an opportunity to bring glory to God because they were prepared, and God put a prepared young people in a place where they could glorify Him. I know history class in the middle of April may not be as exciting as Pilate's, but it's probably more important. Science class in September may not be as exciting as Pilate's, but it's probably more important. If you'll study and if you'll take these years seriously and you'll apply yourself and learn what the teacher's trying to teach you, not just, again, not just the students here. I'm talking about all the boys and girls here tonight, all the way down into elementary school, all the way up. Apply yourself. Listen. Sit up on the edge of your seat. Soak it in. Do your best. Do your homework. Do your assignments. Prepare yourself. And maybe someday God will put you in a place where you can come out and attest 10 times better than the world. Preparation. So vitally important. If those boys had not prepared in school, they would never have been in the place they were in Babylon. Never. So I think about that preparation thing. They were given the opportunity to glorify God because they were prepared. Verse 26, I'm done. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. When I think about the coney, I think about fortification. Fortification. Now, the coney was like a badger. Small little animal, smaller than a badger. Badgers are pretty fierce animals. These are smaller than them. Little bitty creatures. The Bible, the dictionary says that they were, the Bible says they were feeble, and the dictionaries say that they were very vulnerable to enemy predators. And so they hid themselves in the rocks for fortification. Young people, there are some places of fortification for you that you're very wise if you'll hole up in those places. I think about your home. I think about your relationship with your mom and dad. You do not understand how vulnerable you are. And if you will hole up, if you'll find fortification in the good relationship with your mom and dad, it'll be one of the wisest things you'll ever do. You don't ever let anybody come between you and your dad and mom. If somebody ever pulls you aside and says, hey, I want to tell you something, but you've got to promise me you can't tell your dad. You stop. You say, stop right there. There's nothing that I hide from my dad. Now, most kids don't live that way. There's nothing that I hide from my mom. So if you're going to tell me something that you don't want me to repeat to my mom and dad, better not tell me. You never let anybody come between you and your relationship with your dad and your mom. Nobody. That's a fortification that God has given you that will protect you. You're a vulnerable young person. Don't forget that. The strength of your right relationship with your mom and dad. The strength of your relationship with other authorities that God puts in your life. The Sunday school teachers, the youth directors, the Christian school principal and teachers, your pastor at the church, and other places of where God places you with authority over you. Man, make sure your heart is right with them. Love them. Listen to them. Give them your confidence. Give them your heart. There's a fortification in young people finding trust and confidence in God's authorities that He has put into your life. I think about church. A fortification is church. I said this morning, I'll say it again. And I won't even go into all the details. I could scare you tonight. About the increased demonic activity in the world that we live in. You get out there and you start messing around with rock music. You start messing around with rebellion to your dad and mom. You start messing around, God forbid, with fornication. And even lesser things like video games. And I'm going to tell you something. You're exposing yourself to the most unbelievable, powerful, satanic influence you can believe. I don't care if y'all like that or not, but it's the honest truth. I have a CD in my office of Phil Kidd Revival Meeting in Lansing, Michigan last year where a 17-year-old boy destroyed. Brother Caleb, you heard it. A 17-year-old boy who'd been messing around fornication and rock music. 17-year-old boy destroyed the service. Screaming, roaring like a lion. Throwing five men like rag dolls all over the platform. The preacher standing in the pulpit, Tim Green. Remember Tim Green, the priest here? His daddy, Don Green, 57 years, one church. Parker Memorial Baptist Church. Brother Don Green standing in the pulpit, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, asking God to subdue the satanic spirits. And that boy, picking up men, grown men, throwing them across the platform, threw Phil Kidd. They stood toe-to-toe and punched each other for 5 or 6 minutes, toe-to-toe. Finally took a piano bench and cracked it over his head. They finally got him subdued. It'd make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. He's 17. You don't know what you're messing with. Some of you 20, 19-year-olds don't know what you're messing with. You have any idea? And I'll tell you something, there's a place of fortification from that kind of garbage and that kind of nonsense and that kind of influence. It's called your dad and mom. It's called your home. It's called a good relationship. It's called the right kind of Christian music. It's called your local New Testament church. Why can't you just be content with home and church? Mom and dad and the youth and the friends at church. And make that your life while you're growing up. And be content with such things as you have. It's a fortification for you. And I beg you tonight, please. You know, you see these talents and you see these abilities, and you know, they fluctuate from year to year and from group to group that comes through, and sometimes they're musically talented, sometimes they're very talented with their hands, other times they're very talented with their minds in the area of academics. Brother Don, we've seen it ebb and flow through the years, haven't we? We've seen all kind of characteristics come and go through the high school years. But all that God has given you, He has given you and enabled you in those areas to use someday through the ministry of the local New Testament church. I beg you, whatever you do in life, if you surrender to the ministry, or if you go work a job as a plumber or a mechanic or a, no, but it doesn't matter, computer programmer, whatever you do, please be faithful to some good old-fashioned Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Just be faithful. Hope Church will stay at a high priority on your list. There is a movement in our, I guess within fundamentalism, I'm not sure it's Baptist, that de-emphasizes a priority on church. I get the literature in my office. So, you know, sometimes you get, if it's, is it evangelical? Is it fundamental? Is it fundamental? Is it evangelical? What is it? I'll tell you a good rule of thumb. See how long you go through the periodical before they mention church. I'm amazed sometimes about how it talks about God, it talks about family, it talks about home. Where's church? 99% of the time, it's evangelical. But I'm going to tell you something. A good old-fashioned, godly home, a good old-fashioned relationship with mom and dad, and a good old-fashioned Bible-preaching Independent Baptist Church, some of the greatest fortifications that you'll find in life as a young person and beyond. And I hope you just keep your heart with God. Keep your heart with the Lord. It's unbelievable potential in this room. You look at all the young people, not just the ones that were on this stage tonight. And by the way, there were some tremendous stories represented on this platform. Some unbelievable stories. But we want you to do what you just to have it while you're in high school and then get your diploma someday and fade away for God. We want you to be going strong when Jesus comes. Amen. For the glory of God. Preparation, fortification. That's all I'll say tonight, young people. Not just to the school kids, but to all of our young people. God bless you. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Dear Father, our hearts have been blessed by what we've seen and heard. And Lord, the stories behind the different events that we witnessed tonight. So many of these young people, several of them, have come such a long way, oh God. Made such progress by leaps and bounds. Lord, I pray tonight a hedge about them. I pray a protection, please. I pray that you'll help them see the necessity of preparation, the importance of it. And then, Lord, the importance of fortification, that relationship with mom and dad, that relationship with church. Of course, with that comes a relationship with you. Bless the youth of our church. God, give them grace. God, give them strength. God, build them. The mighty warriors for the cause of Christ. Thank you so much for the opportunity to have a church with so many young people. God, help us to raise up a generation or two by your power and grace that will be faithful until the end. That's my prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody here tonight say, Brother Angel, throughout the course of this evening, my heart has been stirred about my relationship with God. I am not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I would go to spend eternity. I'm not sure that I'm even on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me? I would if you'd lift your hand. Anybody like that here tonight? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody? All right, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here tonight, you've been saved but not baptized in deep water since you've been saved, you ought to come follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Or if you're not sure that you're saved, we give the invitation. You come. Walk the aisle. Tell Brother Caleb, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Somebody can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Let me encourage you tonight about the matter of preparation, kids, not just school kids at FBA now, but all the young people in this room, prepare. Daniel and his buddies were in a place where they could glorify God because they were prepared men. Do your best. And then fortify yourself. You're vulnerable. You're feeble. I'm afraid some of you have no idea what you're messing with. Fortify yourself in your relationship with your mom and dad. Fortify yourself in your relationship with your church and the authorities in your life. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Would you come tonight while we wait? Would you kneel? Let the Lord speak to your heart. While we wait, would you come? If you're not sure that you're saved, I'd love to see you walk the aisle tonight. Come to myself and Brother Caleb and just say, you know what, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. Would you come? While we wait, see the importance of preparation. See the importance of fortification. We're supposed to learn something from those little creatures. May God help us. While we wait.